To be mamshich, in the last few weeks we were discussing somewhat about Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Again, as an introduction, Yaakov Emden is Sefer Migdalois, where he makes references to the Sefer Orchid Sadikim. As a matter of fact, he writes, Kishmoy Kein Hu. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, Orchid Sadikim means the paths of the righteous. Orchid Sadikim, and he says, Kishmoy Kein Hu, Tzadikim Yelchu Bar Choysov. Tzadikim will walk in the paths of the teaching of the Sefer Orchid Sadikim, Yisu Medabroisov. And they will, of course, speak about it and discuss what he has to say. And he goes on to say that Loinofal Mikol Dvorav Arzo, that we try not to be able to, anything that he says, to fall behind, but rather to try to keep within the teachings of the Orchid Sadikim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, Loinichichad Imre Kodesh, and not to cut ourselves out from the words of Kedusha of the Orchid Sadikim. And actually he quotes up his 30 Oifanim situations directly from the Orchid Sadikim. We had mentioned last week that Rabbi Yaakov Emden had a lot of travails and a lot of troubles in his young life, you know, growing up, besides situations in his later life. We mentioned that at the age of 15, when he was him, his father, the family, that they moved to Amsterdam. And he became the Rav, the Chacham Tzvi, right? The Gadol HaDor becomes the Rav of Amsterdam. And the Chacham Tzvi finds himself involved in various controversies. We mentioned the controversy of the two Chazonim, which was one issue. Then we find the controversy with Nechem Yechayon, who was a Sabbatian, who was a follower of Shabbat Tzvi. And the Chacham Tzvi was a great Leichem and did not let up with him, and even decreed and put in Cherem the Nechem Yechayon, and also as a Gzeira order to have his Sfarim burnt, Sreifim, condemned them to Sreifim. On the other side, it was his father Shekilu, we mentioned, the Rav Dakilu was of Shlomo Ayalon, himself a Betzim and Adam Godel, and yet they sided with Nechem Yechayon, to the point that the Matzah of the Chacham Tzvi was really, literally intolerable. The matzav became, they also want to report him to the authorities and so on and so forth, that he felt he had to leave after being in Amsterdam for only 6 months. He was the Rav of Amsterdam. Can you imagine? Well, the Choshev Kehilus at the time, that because due to the situation that he was going through, and again standing up again for what he felt was right, so the tzaras that they made him, Pochit made his remaining there intolerable, and he leaves. And that took a toll again on Yaakov Emden, who was only 15 years at the time. And of course, as we saw, that he describes all of this that we are talking about himself in his writings. So now they move on from Amsterdam. So they move on from Amsterdam. It says in the middle, he says, the year of 1714. Middle of the year of 1714, they move on from Amsterdam, and with the intention of going to Poland. That was the Chacham Tzvi's intention, going to Poland. So they leave Amsterdam. And he spent several weeks, he says, in London because of the invitation of the Sephardic communities. London had quite a large Sephardic community. So he spent some time in London, he says, and the rest of the family traveled, he says, by boat to the German city of Emden. He's known as Rabbi Yaakov Emden because of the city of Emden, but not because of this incident, because later he became Rav in Emden. But Lamaisa, for a little while, they actually spent time in Emden. He was only at the time 15 years old. So, Yaakov Emden points out something, and there was a short stay, actually, in Emden at the time. He was age 15 for a few short months, and interestingly enough, those few short months was highlighted by a very strikingly, he said, incident that he himself describes. And again, this incident, as you're going to hear, was actually another setback or maybe a disappointment, you know, again, in the young life of Yaakov Emden at the age of 15. And basically, he says the following. He says, in Emden, there was the leader of the community. So he was a Ish Mechubed Moed. He was a Talmud Chochem also, and he was a wealthy man. So Yaakov Emden writes that the communal leader of Emden, he says, his name was Rav Leib. Rav Leib was the communal leader of Emden. He said, wanted to give me his daughter for a wife. Wanted me for a son-in-law. He says, and now he goes on to quote all her milas. So he says, she was a besula, learned, intelligent, really without equal. He says, in all the land of Germany. Right. Regarding the daughter, he says, of Rav Leib of Emden. Not only to that, so besides the Karen, you know, what is being offered, But he also, he wished to present me a large sum of money as a dowry, because an extremely rich, he said, a learned man. And he goes further. His daughter also yearned to become attached to a family of Torah. She wanted to also become connected to a family of the Chacham Tzvi's family, and his distinguished lineage, which Rabbi Yaakov Emden's family came from. However, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, what's the however? However, he says, for a reason known in the family, my father, the Chacham Tzvi, refrained from agreeing with him, from consenting to the match. So here we have a situation. Yaakov Emden saw a tremendous opportunity. Mamish, hit the jackpot. Glick, fortune, he says. No? And his father, because of some, he says, there is something that his father knew about the family that my revered father did not consent to the match. Now, Yaakov Emden goes on to say, it wasn't so poshut. For me too, even though I was only 15, he says. For me too, he says, it was a great nesoyin, it was a great test, because I was already mature, and capable, he says, of weighing matters, he says, on the scale of intelligent discernment. So I was capable of making my own decision and evaluating it for what it was. It did not escape me that this was a very appropriate match. And he writes further, in all respects, no parallel could be found in the land, whether in terms of a person, he says, wealth or family. So it was apparent to all that this was the most logical path for me, that I should marry her. I could thus have easily achieved the ultimate of perfection. That's what he writes, by marrying this girl. I knew well that also that my revered father, look, he's against the marriage, and yet he can't give me anything. His father was Mamish, the great Chacham Tzvi, was an Oni Shebevi. Mamish, tremendous Oni. I was well aware that my revered father was unable to give me anything, especially in the view of the fact that it was difficult enough for him to provide for himself and his family while he kept wandering without any awareness of his destination. Imagine Chacham Tzvi like that. Chacham Tzvi was hardly able to provide for his family. He was a wanderer at the time, right? He left Amsterdam with all these troubles, all this situation. And he said, the aforementioned communal leader, and on the other hand, this Reb Leib, he says, and his family were very fond of me, and were literally begging me to fulfill their wishes, he says, to be able to achieve, he says, their desire of me. In spite of all this, I didn't wish, Chas v'Sholem, to pain my father. And he writes, although my, he says, thoughts lean toward it. In Machshav, he says, I wanted to defy my father's wishes, in Machshav. But nevertheless, says, I did not want to pain him. Says, even, he says, the family, what my father thought was a pegam mishpocha, the family blemish, he says, was not significant enough, in my opinion, he said, to reject this, because it was not an intrinsic defect. That whatever my father thought was not an intrinsic defect, he says, Chas v'Sholem. He said, furthermore, all the prominent communal leaders of Germany were already related to this family. So there was yichus all around. Everybody was related to them, he says, which had reached high levels of kindness and prominence. He says, surely such a match does not occur, he says, every day. Even so, I did not reveal that which was in my heart. I didn't even tell my father my true feelings. And I humbled myself to accept with love, behalf of the decision of my revered father. Realize he's writing this at the age of somewhere in the 50s, he was old. And he's writing about an incident that happened at the age of 15. You can imagine how much it bothered him at the age of 15 that he's writing with so much feelings so many years later. He's writing this in his 50s, and you might think it happened yesterday. He's describing exactly how he felt, he says. This amazing thing. In other words, the disappointment of not being able to marry this anonymous girl, right, was obvious. And of course, you can realize that it had to deeply, deeply, it grieved him, not just for then, but probably, you know, for all of his life, as he mentions this situation. So again, this is another, as we say, another foot in the, another step in the journey of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. All right, to be continued. But because that also, he did a pretty good shidduch, but not that rich. Okay. And by the way, in Germany, where the cave of Rabbi Yaakov Emden is, you find him, he's buried next to two wives. Yes. So there's more than one. Yeah. All right. Not at the same time. All right. Okay, by the side, we go here in the Orchis Tzadikim, Daf Mem Hei. Again, we're still in the Shar Ha'ava. Right? The gates of love. The Shar Ha'ava. Okay. Shahuarava. Ubeiza Derech. Now the Yochanan Tzaddikim goes on to teach us. Ubeiza Derech, what is the road? What is the proper way? Yagia Odom Lahavas Kol Odom. What is the Yaisa? Right? What advice can I give you to be able to achieve, to reach Ahava, to love all mankind? To have Ahava towards anyone? So Yochanan Tzaddikim Askilcho, he says, V'orcho. I will teach you and I'll educate you. How to generate Ahava, to have a feeling of Ahava towards everyone. Haderechu, what we're trying to achieve is Sheyazoy benafshoy ubememoinoy kifi yicholtoy. First thing is the person should give of himself both physically and financially. A person should be a giver. If you want to have and to generate ahava, love, right, to all men, his idea is you have to be a giver. Both benafshoy, benafshoy means here begufoy, it's an expression. It means physically, and also bememoinoy, financially. Kifi yicholtoy, of course, according to his ability, according to how much he can afford. Now he goes to describe both. He says benafshoy, which means physically, and then b'mamoinoi. Ho'ezer benafshoy, regarding the help, assistance that he gives, right, physically, what that means who? What it means is, she'yisharis l'chalodom, that he should serve all men, hein oni henoshe, should not discriminate that I'm only going to be accessible, or only going to do favors, right, people are rich, right, but people are poor. I'm going to discriminate against him. No, one should not be discriminating. Should not look at who the person is, who the recipient is. And only Hanosher. The Yitrach Aburam, the person should exert himself on behalf of others. Okay? And regarding, we say, assisting with one's money, it means if you can help it, if you're able to give a loan to someone. In other words, Ashirim also take loans, not just poor people. He says, V'chein lo'oni. Also to a poor person, yil v'bishas dochoy, the time of need. The chain also, sometimes, yifkedeyu b'matona kifikoychoy, which means occasionally, you give gifts according to one's ability. And he says, uliksas itim, and occasionally, yishlach monois, v'deyroin is gam nashirin. And sometimes also you may send a treat or a gift. You know, they say the thought counts. It's the thought that counts. Show people your appreciation of them. And you send them a gift. Could be anything. Could be some food. Could be some wine. Could be maybe according to the times. Maybe sometimes it might be even flowers. Whatever the situation is. Whatever is accepted in society, that you're thinking of them. That you're showing, that you're honoring them. You're giving them cover, as he points out later. A person also should be magnanimous. Should not be tight-fisted. Should be a veteran. Why should be magnanimous? He says, "Imirloi esekim bnei adam." If his dealings, if his business involves, right, dealings with people, yekol masa matan. He says, "Shaloi bnei monis." Make sure that your dealing should be with honesty. Val yakpid bedavra muet al chaveroi, and don't make issues over small things. Overlook small things. That's the way it is. Sometimes in business, things don't actually go exactly your way. So for small things, don't be such a jumping on every little thing. But you'll be a veteran. Sometimes you can overlook things. Bederech Klal, in general, he says, Le'olam yeh chofetz shechaveiro yehenem imenu. A person should basically have as an order, a point of order, that his friends should benefit from him rather than he benefits from them. He should be, right, a benefactor rather than a beneficiary. He says, see to it that your friends should be in the henna from you, but don't put in effort to profit from your chaverim. And as a matter of fact, as we'll soon see, that in fact regarding the Hanhogi, as he points out, also the manner of how you speak. If you want to generate ahava, the way you speak, a person should speak gently. Speak gently. Im kol b'nei odom. He says, with everybody. That's what he points out. In other words, not some people yes, some people no, but a person should speak gently, benachas, im kol b'nei odom. So I want to mention that, in fact, that the Ramban, in the Igeres Ramban, the famous Igeres Ramban, the letter that Ramban wrote to his son, right? The famous Igeres Ramban. By the way, Ramban writes to his son that he says that if you are in trouble or you're going through hard times, so the day that you're going to read my letter from beginning to end, he says, and you're going to absorb the teachings, he said, you're going to see that you're going to be relieved of your sorrows. So writes the Ramban to his son. So what he meant was, when you're going to read the letter, that's not enough. To read the letter, it should make some reishim, right? It should have some influence on his life. So if you read the letter, he says, the day you're going to read that letter, and you absorb the teachings, he said, it's going to change your life. That's right. Well, Ramban says regarding, I want to mention this particular phrase, because what the Orchid Sadikim says here, via Devar of the Nachasim called the Neyodom, I'll just quote you just the Loshon of the Ramban. Ramban says in his letter also, Tisnaig Tomid, right? Accustom yourself always, Ledaber called the Varecho Benachas, Lechol Odom, right? Ubacholes. To speak gently to all people at all times. So first of all, when he says Tisnai, Ramban says Tisnai Tomid, accustom yourself always. What it basically means is a person has to be prepared for that. Because always, you see, not always does a situation lend itself to speak gently. And Ramban says, B'choleis, in order to be able to achieve, to speak gently B'choleis, it means that a person has to be prepared, which means that a person should not allow an unnerving situation to catch him by surprise, which means that before a crisis hits, a person should prepare in his mind how you'd like to react. So there's a whole hachon, there's a whole preparation to be able to be mekayim, what the Ramban said to fulfill, tisnaik tomid, always, b'choleis, that means under all circumstances. Now there's some very difficult circumstances that could make it quite difficult to be able to speak gently, but it means therefore that you have to prepare yourself ahead of time. You have to prepare yourself before a crisis hits, right? To be able to prepare in your mind how you would like to react in trying situations, and to resolve to make every effort not to surrender to panic or to rage. That's something you have to work on ahead of time, not at the time when it happens. Okay, now I'm going to be able to speak gently. If you don't really work on it ahead of time, it's not going to happen. But if you prepare yourself mentally, right? Like just the same thing like as a driver who drives, he prepares himself, if he's a good driver, you prepare yourself for a possible skid. Right? Prepare yourself ahead of time for a possible skid. So then in such a situation, the person will be better able to deal with difficult situations, right? As they will inevitably arise. So that's what it means, tisnaik tomit. To be able to do a tomit means that you have to make a mental preparation in order to be able to do that. And then he says, by the way, he says, ladabre benachat, to speak gently. What he means, of course, even in a tension-packed situation. You have many tension-packed situations. And when the atmosphere is, might sometimes be charged with hostility. And you must sometimes even confront your enemy, even when you're obligated to, even to give somebody musr, right? But speak gently. And the idea is because gentle words have more force than indignation. That's the usual klal. And then he said, Taka l'chol odom. L'chol odom means, again, not to discriminate, which means with each and every person. Don't say this person is worthy to speak gently, and that person is not so. But he says, all people, and by the way, all people, some say means all people, even those that you take for granted. It means, yes, speak gently with your wife and children as well. On the people outside, you know, he's a wonderful gentleman, you know, he comes on the street, but in his own house he's a tyrant. So I said, no, speak benachas b'chol odom. B'chol odom means even your wife and children. That's the ribui, because them you take for granted, you don't feel a need that you have to. So that's the idea, is b'chol odom. Anyway, so this is what the Orchid Tzadikim also says. V'yedvarav, he says benachas, he says m'kol b'nei odom. It should be benachas m'kol b'nei odom. This is the way that he should be speaking with everyone, to be able to speak gently. Again, these are all things conducive to generate love, to generate ahava. He says, by shohu, if someone shamed him, al yivayish, don't shame back in return. He tell you, adam, if somebody misleads you, al yitir. Now, don't take revenge. That's the nekuda. You don't react in the form of revenge, because that's the opposite, of course, of what the Torah dictates our behavior should be. Yizboil al tzavoroi oil ha'oilom. A person should bear the burden on the shoulders of world affairs. But you don't impose. Rather be a bearer than an imposer. So see that you don't quarrel with people. See that you don't quarrel with people. Receive every person with joy. And he says, with a kindly face. Many times people will do the right thing, but you can tell on their face they're doing it, right? They're doing it in a way that they're bothered, and they don't like what they're doing. They wish that you wouldn't have to do it, but but they're doing it. That's not the way you do it. They should be on your face. You do it with a kindly face. So if you're already giving your contribution, do it besimcha, do it with joy, do it with a happy face. He says, kasbora sponim techazik ahava, because the kind face, he says, strengthens ahava between man and his fellow. V'yisov v'yitein im chaveiro b'toivosoi. See to it that you deal with people with goodwill. As many say that it means is also that try to give good advice to other people. In business, give him advice. Don't, in other words, seek only what's good for you. If you're dealing with other people in business, be honest, what's good for him also. Not only what's good for you, but maybe detrimental to somebody else. When I mentioned the Lashon of the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yoyne, let's stop for one moment. Rabbeinu Yoyne says the following Lashon, Shar Gimel, Sif Yud Gimel. He says, Ki chayev odom, litroyach bedrishes toiv liyamo. In other words, Rabbeinu Yoyne says in Shari Tshuva, it's an obligation, you don't just merely help someone when he knocks at your door. The obligation is to seek out who needs help. That's not a simple madrega. Shari Tshuva says it's an obligation. You know, in our madrega, you know, it's enough if somebody asks, and if we're willing to help, that's also already a mila. If we're willing to help and somebody asks for it. But Yehuda said that's not enough. Chayev Odom, to go and seek out people who need help. Chayev Odom, he says, Litroyach, to be matroyach, Bedrishas toiv liyamoi, Velishkoi ba'omo mapshoi al tekonas chaveroi. And to put an effort in koyach. What is better for your friend? Imdal, he says, v'im osher, whether he's poor or he's rich. You know what he says? V'zois min achamurais. This is one of the very serious of all the mitzvahs of Torah. So says Rabbeinu Yoyne, v'zois min achamurais. Which means what Rabbeinu Yoyne is being machadish to us. That's not enough that a person is a goymel chesed who asks for it. That's the common way of understanding. Gimilas chasodah means, right? Gimilas means, stretch out your hand for those that ask for it. Help someone, right, who seeks your help. It's not enough, he says. It's not even enough, he says, when you see, Nachmer, it's not even enough, let's say somebody didn't ask for your help, but you see someone is in trouble, right, and you help him, that's a higher madrega. That's not enough either. It's not enough that when you see someone, again, the lower madrega is someone asks you for help. The next madrega is you don't wait to be asked, you see by yourself, you see someone in trouble, you're going to help him. The higher madrega and chayev is, even if you didn't see, go out to find, then you'll see. Not even it's not coming your way. It means you have to go out of your way to go and find. See, because the fact is there are people who are in need. Go out and try to find people who are in need. So says Rabbeinu Yoyne. That's part of the chiyuv. It's a tremendous chiddush what's being mechadish Rabbeinu Yoyne. How far the act of gemilas chasodim goes. In any case, so we go further. Also says the Yochas Tzadikim v'yenachem kol odom. He says ma'atzvoy medagosoy. See to console all men from their sorrow and from their worry. Make them feel good. Try to neutralize their pain with soothing words. And he goes on to say, he says, Im giloloi odom soit, unless someone revealed a secret to you, al yigale, make sure that you don't reveal it. And by the way, that's the iser. It's not just part of midrash toivis. There's an iser. There's an iser bal yagid. If someone reveals in confidence, reveals a secret to you, it is also, it's prohibited to go to reveal it. And he said, but the Orch Sadikim is adding, don't reveal it. He says, afim yachisu, even if he made you angry. In other words, many times you want to get back to someone, right? Somebody does you an obloquy, somebody got you angry, somebody angered you, so you figure, okay, what I'm going to do is now I'm going to reveal a secret, a private thing that only between me and him, that he told me. So no, even if he got you angry, that doesn't entitle you to reveal a soid, right, that was given to you in confidence. Does not entitle you to do that. And then he says further, do not speak ill of people, even in some ways where there might not even be Lashon Hara. It's not going down to details. The idea is don't speak ill of people. Nor should you be the bearer of listening when people speak ill about other people. That should not be part of your conversation with social, right? In social company. And lo oilam, and always yishtade limsus chusal bnei yodam, always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. When you see a situation and you're able to interpret it for the positive instead of the negative, give people bimalamus chus, give them the benefit of the doubt. Bemokim shef shalius, whenever possible, to find some sort of a way. Not only that, he says, be extra careful to do so. He adds, biyoyso yizor bizeh. Make sure to be extra careful. Because if you're a person who always, right, sees the good side of people, if you're a person who gets the benefit of the doubt, yeh ohuv lakol, you'll be beloved by all. Because people will recognize very quickly, very soon, your good-naturedness. They'll recognize, you know, the innate behavior and the pure behavior that you have, and this will be appreciated, and it'll make you beloved by all. And he goes on to say further, V'yechabed kol odom b'masov u'bidvorov. Make sure to honor all men, indeed, how you treat them, b'maisa, indeed, and also with words. Treat them properly with actions, in act, in indeed, and also with words. V'lo yizgoyal shum odom. Do not act superior over anybody. Do not act superior. He says, "Ach, except for just the opposite. You cannot talk as chalodim. You should humble yourself. You should humble yourself before any man, Right? Before any man, he says, you should humble yourself. He says, Ubakoil Yechav L'Shem Shemaim. And for everything, whatever you do, have in mind it should be for the sake of Heaven L'Shem Shemaim. I want to mention to you further again in the Igeres Ramban. Also, for example, with the Orchis Adikim says here that V'lo Yizgoy Al Shumodom, you should not consider yourself superior over any man. Let me quote you a little bit regarding the same issue that the Ramban writes in his letter. He said the attitude should be, and sometimes it's not easy, but explains how to make it easier. Ramban says, V'chol Odom, he writes to his son, V'chol Odom Yegodol Mimcho Beinecho. Any person you come across, you should imagine that person that he is greater than you. Now how could that be? Let's say he's rich, you're not. Right? So Ramban says, and let's say he's a Chocham and you're not. So how are you going to imagine any person that you encounter, right, that he's greater than you, or forget it, you're greater than him, so you feel so, you're a Chocham, he's not. You're an Osher, he's not. So Ramban says, Vim Chocham oy Osher, right? He says, Namamon of Shech, he says, if he's a Chocham or an Osher, then for sure be Mechabedin, right? That Vim Roshu, and let's say the other person is poor, and you're rich, or Chocham, so you say to yourself, maybe I'm a bigger Chocham, let's say I am, but he's a bigger Tzaddik than me. Maybe he does more mitzvahs than me. Maybe he has less averus than me. In other words, there's so many other aspects. So, at the end of the day, you know, when you add everything up, you should make the cheshbon that if you can add up all the, right, the pros and cons, that he's going to come out ahead. And that certainly is very possible. So even though there's certain nekudah, certain that you may feel that you have, right, over the other person, but yet the other person may have other attributes, right, which overwhelmingly, right, outnumber yours. So that's what Ramban says. You should, and he gives, goes on and on to give examples of how you can always see, find a different mila that he has, which you don't have. And so on. So that's the idea. Continues further. The Yochid Sadiqim, and he says, V'tzor mo'ili zoyer. You have to be, he says, very careful. He says, V'tzor mo'ili zoyer, we have to be very careful. Nechevras b'nei yodom she'eino muhugonim. Very important thing, he says. One should very be careful whose company you keep. Because eventually you become that which company you keep. You become the same. He said, be very careful. He says, Mechevras ben yodim, from the company of people who are unworthy. Kedei shol yilmad memaseim. In order that you do not learn, he says, from their maisim. I have to say, even though it happened by us in shul, but many, many years ago, in the old shul, there was a table. Put it this way, it goes back, I think it was two or three years, I think, from when the second year of the opening of the shul, so it was shul's 36 years, so it was 34 years ago, something like that. There was a talking table. We don't have that anymore. So there was a talking table. And someone's brother who came from Eretz Yisrael, who sat in Koil and was learning, and he's a member of a koil, a very choshev, a kenoizig koil, very, very young. And he was very upset. He came, he happened to be sitting, for whatever reason, there was an available seat at that talking table. And where he comes from, you know, from Eretz Yisrael, you know, from Bnei Brak, he was very upset to see that they were talking. I have to tell you, a half an hour into the davening was part of the talkers also. The subject matter was so beautiful, you know, was so attractive, that he became just talking along with them. Right, this is Mamish, this is what the Orchid Sadiqim says. Shoyumin Mamaseim. You know, you give part of the company that even these are people that originally said, this is not for me, but it gets very easily a person becomes transformed and becomes part of the Chevron. Part of the Chevron. As a matter of fact, the Mesilas Yishon Ramchal also says, he says in Perikei, he says regarding that he has Shar Hazahirus, which is the gate, the Shar of vigilance. Right, a person should be vigilant, be very careful. So he says things that ruin Zahiris. A person wants to be careful about many things. He says, Hamafsir Ashlishi. He gives one, two, number one, number two, number three. Hamafsir Ashlishi, the third one is if you're in the wrong company. Hamafsir Ashlishi says the Mesil Zeshoim who are Chevre. He says, Chevre, he says, Hatipshim Achoitim. People, he says, unfortunately, are sinners. If you're involved in such a group, eventually, he says, even though you were opposed to what they do, but eventually we become desensitized. That's what it is. And therefore, things that you would abhor, things that you would reject instinctively, but after a while, you just become used to it. And that's the way of the world. So that's what the Yochai Sadiqim says. Be careful from which company, the type of people. Don't associate really with people, you know, socially, people who are not worthy. Also, he says, keep far from scoffers. We still laugh off everything. Everything is a joke. Everything is, don't think anything serious. Anything that's important, they just scoff at it. and make important things into nothing, to take light of serious situations. He says, the wise man once said to his son, he says, if it occurs to you, if you really want to be part of a social group, he says, see to become associated with wise people. As it says, in Mishle it says, a person who walks with Chachomim, he himself grows wise. You become part of the company, right, that you are involved with. And it goes further. The Ne'emar says, Ten l'chochom v'yech kamoid. It says further, when you feed wisdom to a Chochom, he's going to use it to grow in Chochmah. In other words, what it means to say is, a person will say to himself, why should I associate with a Chochom? I myself am already a Chochom. I myself am a Chocham, so why do I have to associate with another Chocham? I mean, I like to associate with somebody who's less of a Chocham. It's less boring, maybe. So you say to yourself, I'm a Chocham already, why should I associate with a Chocham? You know why? Because you associate with a Chocham, you become a bigger Chocham. Ten Chocham Echemoid. So when you say to yourself, well, I'm already a Chocham, so what need is there for me to associate with another Chocham? I'm already a Chocham. But if you associate with another Chocham, you're going to become an even greater Chocham. Because Ten Chocham Echemoid. The more that you're involved with Chochmah, you become a greater Chocham. Shimtechkom, he says also, when you're connected with a Chocham, and you say something wise, or you become wise, a Chocham will praise you. The Chocham will praise you, will not dispute your wisdom. Somebody who's a less of a Chocham will try to downplay your Chochmah. He'll be jealous of you. And he won't want you to feel, right? He won't want you to feel that you are somehow superior because you have Chochmah. But associated with a Chochmah, he also is a Chochmah. So the Chochmah will justifiably, he'll accept your Chochmah, he'll praise you for what it is. And then you'll know, then you know that you can rely on your Chochmah. Because the Chochmah praised it. He agreed with it. He acknowledged it. He says, Im yechabduhu, he says, regarding a Chochmah, you honor him, yechabduhu. He'll honor you back. Yadruhu, he said, if you extol him, right, you bring out his mind, Yadrucha, they'll do it back. In Tistarach Lezrosa, if you'll need his help, Yadrucha, he says he'll help you. Umashi Toimer, he says, Yadzdikcha. He's a very interesting, he says, and whatever you say, in other words, he'll try to vindicate. When he'll try to vindicate? Well, in other words, he said like this, a true Chocham, someone who is a true Chocham, and he's not really jealous of your milus, so even if you made a mistake, he's not going to point out as a mistake. He'll try try to explain why your tzad, even though you're wrong, and it'll be acknowledged that you're wrong, but he won't point it out as being wrong as if it had no merit at all. Yadzikha means to say is, he'll try to show at least why, what made you say it, so you won't feel so bad in the mistake that you made. That's the thing. Umashi toimer yadzikha. He'll try to vindicate. He'll try to give a reason why at least you said it. That there was some room at least to say it, even though it wasn't right. But another chacham will try at least to vindicate for what you said. And also imtichas, if something caused you to get angry, yizbolcha, he'll tolerate you. And the Tilman Mimasava Toivan, you'll learn from his Maisim Toivim. So the bottom line is, his Chaberim Kobane Yodom, like, seek company of all people, Shetilmad Mimenu Dvarim, that you can learn from them, Ashivuucha la Voides Haboyre Yisbarach. The bottom line is, try to associate with people that can bring you closer to Hashem. That is the bottom line. People that will benefit you in that way. Here's a very interesting thing. He says, how do you test the person if he's the appropriate chavrusa chaver for you? He says that the true way of testing a person's character is when he's angry. Because when a person is angry, usually a person has no patience, and therefore he does not want to tolerate, and his true essence comes out whether he can control himself or not. So the Chacham say, try to get him a little bit angry, he said, and see his reaction. The Gemara says, "B'shloisha dvorim odem nikar, b'kisoy, b'koisoy, u'b'kasoy." So the Chacham say, even try to kibitz him a little bit. Let's see how he takes it. In other words, he means to say, "Kishitirsa lechavri meisodem hachiseyu." Chasey, me get him sort of like angry. V'miyoyde lechoho emes b'shas kasoy, and if he can admit. B'shas when he's angry, he can still see the truth. He will not allow the anger to camouflage his thinking, but he'll admit the truth even at the time that his chaber loy connect with him. Because if a person means to say is that even when he's angry, the seichel is dominant. It does not go by emotion. It goes by seichel. That's the type of person. Yet you have to associate with the person that seichel controls his behavior, not emotion controls his behavior. Vimlav, but if you see that when he's angry, he loses the truth, he does not see the truth anymore, azoy voisoy, leave him. Don't seek his company. Don't be with him. And then he says another thing, very interesting thing. Choose a friend also who knows his own worth. He says, in other words, when you talk about an honor does not mean somebody who does not recognize his milus. An honor just means it doesn't let it go to his head. So he says, al deschaber lechover el al mishiyaker erach atzmoi, someone who recognizes a milus, he says, umishayna maker is atzmoi en toy bechevrosoi. Why? Because someone really who recognizes his milus will be able to utilize the talents that he has in a positive way that you can benefit from it. But a person that recognizes milus, then all of his talents will just go to waste because he doesn't recognize it, and you're not going to be able to gain the benefit, the maximum from him. Kenei lechochover, see to choose a friend. But choose a friend, not just a friend who's going to cover up for you, but it's a choose a friend that's going to rebuke you. He's going to tell you out of love, he says, when he sees that you're doing something improper. He's going to teach you to do the right thing. Shame. So he says, and someone who's ready to help you also, who gives of himself, he says, and his possessions. He says, that is the true loyal friend. True loyal friend is when he sees that something is improper, he'll tell you, he'll point it out. But he's always there by your side to help you. But a friend who only flatters you, and he rationalizes all your mistakes and your errors, is sympathetic when you do something bad, that's not a true friend. A friend who allows you to do everything that's improper and makes it look like, right, makes it look like you're okay, he's stalking him all off. Leave him. He says, this is not a friend for you. And finally he says, a friend who's always in it for the take. Some people have a friend, he's only a friend as long as he can get from you. But the moment that you need him, he's not your friend anymore. That's not a friend for you. He says, a friend who's only ready to take what he needs, even at the expense of causing you hefset, causing you damage. The azikro has a god labur hanoam letis, even for slight benefit. Maher, he says, v'sur me'olov, go ahead and leave him immediately. Okay, Rabbi Isai. So we kiss her. So these again, this is quite a handful, quite a mouthful. As we see here, in terms of all of these things, again, this is all part of Shar Ha'ava. In terms of proper behavior, and people who conduct themselves in this way will generate a Ha'ava between Odom and Chaveroi. So there's quite a number of things, as we see here, in terms of human behavior. So human behavior can be really a career that someone really has to work on for quite a while. What we have here on the sheet, Rabbi Isai, is somewhat of a shmooze. We'll do part of it. A very beautiful shmooze of Rav Chaim Shmulevich from the Sefer Sichas Musa in Parashas Pinchas. It is quite obvious, it's the middle of an essay, it's quite obvious, you know, someone who is in the world of Kirith. Some in the world of Kirith trying to bring people closer, to show the beauty of Yiddishkeit, to show the beauty of the Torah. There's certainly that you have to have a love for that person. In other words, you want to be Mekar of someone, you have to have a love, and the person has to feel, the recipient, the person has to feel that you're really out for his good. You're not just have to grab him or you. There's something in it for you. You really. So that's simple. That everybody understands that. But Ahava goes beyond that. The love to another person goes beyond that. And he goes on to say as follows. The Inei, he says, Nire. He says, Shalai rak kedei lekarev sabriyas l'toire. It's not only when you want to be mekarev someone to Torah. Tzorach odom l'midas ahava sabriyas. You need the midah of loving mankind. That's poshut. If you're in the world of Kirev, you have to have Ahava. You have to love people. I once asked a particular Rosh Yeshiva. One of the Rosh Yeshivas in Peekskill. There's a particular Rosh Yeshiva there. It was very, very much matzliach. More than others. And I once asked him, why is that particular, not him, I asked one Rosh Yeshiva about the other one. So I asked this Rosh Yeshiva, why is the other Rosh Yeshiva so matzliach? That's what I asked him. Why is it? So he said very simply, because he says he loves Talmidim. This is what Lashon says. He loves the Talmidim. There's something that comes across, the Ahava. If you have that in its portion, then you have a way. The heart of the Rosh Yeshiva will certainly reach them. So for certainly when you're trying to be Mekarev Sabriyas, there's no question, as he says, that you have to have Ahava Sabriyas. That's portion. But he says, interesting, you have to have love when you want to be Merachik somebody. To use extreme, if there comes a time to expel a Talmud, you have to have tremendous Ahava Sabriyas. You have to have tremendous love to that person before you can do it. That's what Chaim says. If there comes a time and a need that you have to expel a Talmud, if you have to do it, if you don't really love this Talmud fully, completely, you're not in the position, to want to make that decision. Only if you really love him, is that intrinsically, then you're capable of making a decision to be Merachikim. Look what he says. Eliyosu, even more than Kiruv. As much Ahava that you need to be Mekarav someone, even greater Ahava you have to have before you're Merachik someone. So Yosu Tzarech Lemidah Zui said, Bishar Shemuchrochim Lerachik Mishuhu. Whether it's the Talmud or it's somebody else. Whoever it is, if there comes a time that you have to be merachik someone, you have to distance someone. The chaz v'sholem l'harchik odom imloy mitoich leiv molahava elof. Hear what he says? Chaz v'sholem, he says that you should distance someone. You should abandon someone. If you don't have full ahava before you do it to that person. Yikim ha-shem etzino b'pinchas. Shekine kines Hashem. Pinchas, of course, took up for it, took up for the action, for the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubo Bishah, at the time that Pinchas did that act, now looking from the outside, Pinchas did something, right? Pinchas did something which is very aggressive. Very aggressive. He went ahead and he killed the Nasi. He went ahead and killed the Nasi. Ubo Bishah Nemar Ola Pinchas ben Elazar Ahana Koyen. What does it say? He's Ahan ben Ahana Koyen. What do you mean he's Ahan ben Ahana Koyen? That Pinchas who did the Kenois is ben Ahana Koyen. What does Ahana Koyen mean? Oyev Shalom, Veroyev Shalom, Oyev Sabriyas, the commotion is buyer. That's what the Torah tells us is Yichus, because we know already. We knew that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Ahana Koyen. Why mention it here? Because at the time of Kinoi, when Pinchas goes out and does something aggressive, you have to realize he did it with the midah of Oyev Sholem, the right of Sholem. With that midah, he felt he had to do what he had to do. So you have to have the Hagdoma, you have to have the midah of tremendous Avo. Then you can go ahead and do something as drastic of being Merachik, or doing something that what Pinchas did. Now look what he says. He says here, I have to tell you, this next piece is one of the most unique pieces you'll ever find. And this is the taich, you see, how Rav Chaim Shulevich's insight, and which made him, of course, the great Rosh Yeshiva that Rav Chaim Shulevich was. Look what he says here. Because we all know the Maise, but I don't believe we know the insight of that Maise. Vinei Abraham Avinu, says Rav Chaim. Abraham Avinu kin istavel legarish es Yishmol mebeisa. Look at this. Avraham Avinu, right, was commanded that he has to drive Yishmael out of the house. At that time, Yishmael was dangerously ill. He had a life-threatening sickness. And the commandment came to drive him out. Nosan b'yodai, Avraham Avinu gives him lechem, v'chemus mayim, right? So he gives him provisions, right? He's not letting him go without anything. He gives him provisions, gives him food and drink. The cost of Rashi, now look at Rashi says. So on the one hand, Rashi says, why didn't he give him gold and silver? Why didn't he give him money? Yeah, he should give him a few hundred dollars. Why did he give him? So Rashi says, Aloshin, Lefisha Yesoinoi al Sheyotza Latar Busra. So if you look at this Rashi, we stop right here. Rashi says that Avraham Avinu had a sin, had a hatred to Yishmael. We stop right here, right? Due to his behavior, due to Yishmael's, right, despicable behavior. He was forced. I mean, he had to drive him out. And Rashi says a lotion that shoyisoynoi. Okay. Now let's take a look at a different Rashi. Well, ahal in the parashas Akedah. Afterwards, in the parash of the Akedah, Ora Kodesh Baruch Hu Avraham, kachno, right? The mitzvah. Who are you supposed to take for the Akedah? Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, in full detail. Kachno, I want you to take, as Bincho, as Yechidcho, your son, the only one, Asher Hafto. Three things. As Bincho, as Yechidcho, your only son, Asher Hafto, the one that you love. Say Chazal. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu say all these three? Because when Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Kachno, as Bincho, Avraham Avinu said, which one? I have two sons. Kodesh Baruch Hu went ahead and said, as Yechidcho. Look what happened. Ola Avraham. So Chazal says, to Gemara Sanhedrin. Avraham Avinu says, Shnei Banim Yeshli. What do you mean, as Bincho? So which son? I have two sons. And look what he said. Eshneim ani oyev. What does it say over here? But he says, I love both. Doesn't that seem contradictory to the Rashi before? Does it not seem contradictory to the Rashi before? Rashi said he hated Yishmael. And later on by the Akedah, from Avinu says, which son? I love both. Ubetanchume Isa. Kishoma Kojbokal Avram. The Medrash Tanchuma says, when Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, the son that you love, that's the one that you take to bind him on the Akedah. Asher Ahavta Omar Avraham, Dechi Yesh Gvul B'Me'ai. Is there a gvul? Is there limitations to how much love I can have within me? I have enough love to share to all of them. I have enough love to share. Harei, by the way, you know what's the mashma? Not only did he love Yishmael. Harei, She'ov Ez Yisrael B'Shmael B'Midah Shov B'Mamish. Can you hear that? But Reb Chaim sees in that Chazal, not only Avraham Avinu had loved Ishmael, he loved him no less than Yitzchak. That's something we're not aware of. It's not only that he loved him, no less than Yitzchak. By the way, and who did he say from in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which had to be 100% true? He's saying in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth, and he's saying in front of Hashem. So we have an open stir, a contradiction. So we have a contradiction from the previous Rashi. It says that he hated him. Right? Skip the line. Go to the next paragraph. Say, Rabbi Chaim, but we explained it already elsewhere. It's not a contradiction. You want to know what's not a contradiction? She ain't can't steer a cloud. Ki omnom, he says, it's the stamodon by a regular person, a half of the sinner him steer it. Look at the psychological insight of Reb Chaim. A regular person, love and hate are contradiction terms. You either love or you hate. Avraham Avinu was capable within the same person to love him and hate him at the same time. You love him for the good points and you hate him for the negative points. But there's enough love side by side with hate together. Look what he says. He said, by a regular person it's very difficult. They would cross the lines. You can't have a haven sinner. It's an emotion. Either I love or I hate. Very difficult to have both at the same time. Right? You can't be a friend, can't be an enemy at the same time. Either you're a friend or foe. Can you be both? Can't. That's by regular people. Or the other way, right? You can't be an enemy or a friend. But he says, but there are clouds. These two midas cannot live side by side in harmony. Avraham Avinu had refined midas. He had control over every aspect of his midas. Avraham Avinu had so control of his feelings that he was capable of embellishing, right, and absorbing and experiencing two contradictory midas at the same time. Avraham Avinu was capable of his avu behem negias mishal asmoi, being that his personal negias, right, his personal, it was nothing subjective was able to get involved in the middle. On the one hand, he loved the mahavas nefesh ke yitzchak benoi mitzarechot. Mitzarechot, he had such love to Yishmael mamish like Yitzchak. Umeidach, on the other side, hoyesoinoi, he hated him asher yosel l'tal b'sro. If a person is so fully controlled in one's midos, you're capable of having a hav and sinner within the same person, right? But and you still, and they're not going to, right, cross the line. You can have a hava, you can have sinner. So now, go further. Now you see something, Moiridik. So now, Benira, he says, Shalei Rak, now goes further. So now, Rabbosai, if you stop right there, first of all, you see a tremendous thing. You see an amazing thing, that a hava and sinner does not have to be a contradiction, right? That's what we learn now. That somebody like Avraham Avinu is capable of experiencing both emotions, right, at the same time. Regarding the same person. You've got to have a hav, it's not a stira. Rabbi Chaim goes a step further. Not only is that a contradiction, it's a must. You have to have both. Why? Because if you want to hate, you have to love first. Before you can be merachik, before you're capable of disciplining someone, before you want to expel someone, you have to do it out of love, not out of anger, not out of subjective, right? Personal, right? So that's the Nakuda, he says. So Chaim says, not only there's not a contradiction that he had a hava and sin at the same time, but if not for the fact, right, it was imperative, if not for the fact that he had such a love to Yishmael, he couldn't send them away. He had no right to send them away. Because you can only do it out of love, he says. He says, if not for the fact, as we already explained, when you are ready to punish someone, when you want to use the attribute of justice, when you want to punish someone, right? You also have to have tremendous compassion. You punish with compassion. Don't punish out of hate. Don't punish out of anger. You punish out of compassion. And you have to generate love towards that person. Only if the punishment comes from love, then the oinish is karo. Then the oinish will be appropriate. It will not be misplaced. Avol im ho oinish nasa mitoich sinah. Ein zedin amiti kviat tzarech, and so on. It goes on and on. So I have no time to go. But this is a tremendous just essay of insight that we see from Chaim. Again, shara hava. They show ahava and how ahava and sinah can sometimes even go together. So let's just finish in the next mamish few minutes, and talking about ahava, how far ahava can go one to another. People who have visited Reb Chaim Kanievsky know that there is a person that you have to go through in order to get to Reb Chaim. His name is Reb Eliyahu Mann. That's his name. Reb Eliyahu Mann himself is a Talmud Chacham, by the way, himself. So Reb Eliyahu Mann, I mean, he's the person that you have to go through in order to get to Reb Chaim. So Reb Eliyahu Mann himself reveals and says that a particular night, he said, I was at a Simchas Bar Mitzvah. I was at a Simchas Bar Mitzvah, he said, in Bnei Brak. And a Yid comes over to me, a Yid that I never saw, I never met before. And the Yid asks me a favor. He says, please make an appointment for two people that have a Din Torah, and we want Reb Chaim to pass on the Din Torah. So Bayoru says, this Yid, never met him before. He's asking me to make an appointment. He's asking me to make an appointment on behalf of two Yidin who have a Din Torah, and they want the Din Torah to be held by Reb Chaim. He should pass on the Din Torah. Says Reb Yo, I told the Yid, Reb Chaim does not do Din Torahs. For Din Torahs, there are Botadinim, there are Bezins, you know, the Bnei Brak has quite a few Bezins, which basically that's what they're for Din Torahs. Reb Chaim, you come for an Eitzah, Reb Chaim, come for a Brocha. Reb Chaim doesn't get involved in Din Torahs, he doesn't do that. However, this Yid was very stubborn, very insistent, and he said, this is not a regular Din Torah, he says. It's not a regular Din Torah. So he says, being that he said that, said Reb Yo, said, so first I was curious to find out what Din Torah is about. If I hear Din Torah is about, then I'll decide whether it should be brought before Reb Chaim or not. So he says, I'm going to tell you there are two people. There are two Yidin. One is called Reuven, one is called Shimon. Alright? There are two Yidin, Reuven and Shimon. They basically are neighbors. They both live in Bnei Brak. Reuven happens to be a young man who is a Talmud Chochom. He's sitting and learning. And his parnosa is very, very weak. He barely is able to make it. Barely able to sustain himself. And his neighbor, Shimon, is someone who is very matzliach, very successful in business. He has a shir every day, he's kovei yitim l'tayre. He's also ben tayre, but he's very matzliach in business. And so the ideas are neighbors. So Reuven, the Talmud Chochem, sitting and learning, and is very difficult to make ends meet, finds it very difficult to make ends meet. And then his neighbor, Shimon, is very matzliach. It turns out that Shimon realized one day, by accident, that the matzav by Reuven was very, very poor. He was actually destitute. Why? Because he chanced on a Shabbos. By the Shabbos meal, he happened to walk into Reuven's house, and he saw that the entire Shabbos meal, Shabbos, with the family, consisted about opening a can of tuna. That was the boss of a dog in B'chol Matamim, was the can of tuna. That's what it was. Shimon felt terrible to see that his neighbor, Reuven, Talmud Chacham, they're struggling so hard. So Shimon goes over to Reuven and makes him an offer. He says to him, you know what? He says, from now on, I want you to go Erev Shabbos, Friday, go to the local grocery store, wherever you go, or whatever you need for Shabbos, I pay for it. It's on my cheshbon, in my account. Reuven agreed to it. And this is the way it went. Went in for weeks and months. It comes Shabbos. All the expenses of Reuven's expenses for Shabbos was on Shimon. And Shimon would pay the bill. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, does mysterious things, and after a while, it was a galgal achoizah, the wheels turned, and Shimon, from being that gevir, being that rich, successful businessman, turned down, nosedive. And Shimon now himself becomes quite difficult to make ends meet, and he's struggling. But Shimon does not let Reuven know about it. And Shimon, who can barely make his own ends meet, continues to pay, right, continues to pay for Reuven as if nothing happened, as he was able to do years or months, you know, when he was could afford it, does not let anybody know about it, and he continues everything as if nothing happened, and he pays and foots the bill for Reuven Shabbos as he always did till now. After a while, Reuven finds out. Reuven sees the matzah, I guess, apparently were neighbors. He saw that the lifestyle of Shimon totally changed. And he realizes that Shimon is doing something which he should not be doing. Shimon cannot afford it. Shimon cannot afford, he can hardly afford to make Shabbos now in his own house. Shimon can't afford, you know, an extra family to continue supporting Reuven. So Reuven goes to Shimon and says, from now on I refuse to take from you. Reuven says, from now on, Kol Zman you were able to, and I thank you very much, and really, he says, from the bottom of my heart for everything that you did, Avakoras HaToyv, but now I recognize that you yourself are in a difficult matzit, you're in a difficult situation. So therefore he says, I refuse to take from you, and the Mela stop, I'm on my own. So Shimon says, what do you mean? What do you mean? When it comes to Shabbos, the Gemara says, on the Hitzos of Shabbos, that although, remember the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the parnos of the year, for it's fixed on Rosh Hashanah, how much a person should make a year, but that's except whatever you spend on Shabbos, that goes on a separate cheshbon, because Baruch Hu gives you separate for that. So Shimon says, is regarding expenses that I spend on Shabbos, said that's not on my cheshbon, he said that's on the cheshbon of Shabbos, he says. So Shimon insists, he wants to continue to give to Reuven. And he says, you don't have to worry that, because I'm giving for Shabbos' sake. And when I give for Shabbos' sake, that's not, doesn't go on my cheshbon. That goes on the cheshbon of Shabbos. So Reuven is a Talmud Chacham and says, no. When the Gemara says that spending on Shabbos, right? Because Baruch Hu gives you extra, that spending on your own Shabbos, not giving tzedakah to somebody else's Shabbos. This is not for your own Shabbos. Here you're giving money for my Shabbos. So it goes back and forth and back and forth, and they argue. Shimon wants to give and Reuven doesn't want to take. So in the meantime, Rebel Yoaman is listening to this dintayr. Never heard such a dintayr in this foreign's life. So he asks the person, he says, and what shaykhis do you have to this dintayr? He says, I'm Shimon. He says, I'm Shimon. I want to give, he doesn't want to take. So he goes to Reb Chaim. He brings it to Reb Chaim. And Rebel Yoaman says, Reb Chaim became so emotional, he heard it, that literally he got choked up and tears went from his eyes. Such a dintayr. Sancho is never entire. The entire is always, Reuven says, Shimon owes me money, is that you owe me? But he does the opposite. I want to give and I don't want to take. He insists to give and he doesn't want to take. Why'd you ever hear such a entire? Finally, when Reb Chaim calmed down, and without making the story short, so Reb Chaim goes down and he says, the truth is, he says, that regarding Shabbos, he says, you continue. Being that you were so stubborn, meaning that you really have this drive, that you want to help Reuven in spite of your matzav of poverty, Rabbi Chaim said to him, you continue to support him, because Baruch Hu, he said, we'll help you, and in fact, you become tzliach like you did in the beginning. Rabbi Chaim gave him that bracha. What's interesting thing is, that this maise came to the ears of Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, also heard the maise. Rabbi Aaron Leib says, and he heard the psak of Rabbi Chaim, Reuven says, I don't want to take, Shimon can't afford it, but Shimon wants to give. And Reb Chaim said, no, if Shimon insists that he wants to give, so Reb Chaim said, let him give. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, that's Hashem, right? HaKadosh will give him a bracha. So Baal Leib says, I want to add something, he says, to Reb Chaim's psak. Because remember when Shimon said to Reuven, don't worry about it, because I'm spending for the sake of Shabbos. Right, and when it comes for the cheshbon of Shabbos, it's not on my cheshbon, it's on Shabbos cheshbon. So what did Reuven answer? Reuven says, no, Shabbos cheshbon is when it's for your Shabbos, but you are spending money on my Shabbos. So Reb Aaron Leib, when you have two friends that are so close to each other, and one person has food on his table, and he sees his friend has no food, your own Shabbos is missing. Your own Shabbos is deficient. In other words, Shimon, if he has food on his table, and he sees that Reuven doesn't, so Shimon's Shabbos is lacking. So in order for Shimon's Shabbos to be a proper Shabbos, it'll only be a proper Shabbos if he can give Reuven as well. Because that is the Hagosha, that is the Ahava between one Yid and to another. So here we see again the milus of Eden. A Klal Yisrael can rise to what it means to get the true Ahava of Yisrael. And Be'ez Hashem, this is all part of the Shar Ahava that hopefully someday we'll get a little bit closer to be able to get some modicum of this type of Ahava of Yisrael.